You are listening to the Beyond the High Road podcast with Shelby Milford, episode number 66. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Beyond the High Road.
Hello. How you guys doing? It is January of 2024, y'all. It is a brand new year. I was just talking about in the private Facebook group in the live event that I had yesterday. And I think I was talking about last week a little bit too. I used to not look forward to a new year, new months, new weeks, any of it. Each new increment of time, they were reminders of the time I had missed and the time I was missing with my daughter, making memories with my daughter. And so if you are not super jolly, happy, running around with bells on because of the new year, I understand. I get it. But I want to offer today for this episode a different perspective, because that perspective that I used to take, fear was driving everything I did or didn't do. I felt very rushed, the sense of urgency. And at the same time, I felt so blocked, like stuck in bubblegum. Basically, what I'm saying is that perspective sucks. I mean, it sucks to be in that spot. I don't mean that you suck for having that perspective, but it's just it's not a helpful perspective to live in. I find it much more refreshing to come from a place of creation. So I'm gonna tell you guys a little story to begin with. Early in my adult life, I learned how to ride a motorcycle. I was with a guy for a long time who rode a Harley, and all of my friends rode Harleys. This is down in Miami. So then I eventually got my own Harley, and then I got another one. Then, maybe a couple years before I got back together with my daughter's father, I stopped riding. I sold my last one and hadn't ridden for up until the alienation had started taking hold and my daughter was back over with her father, right? So my daughter must have been around 9 years old when I decided to pick up riding again. This is when I was living in Austin, and I lived in South Austin, and I had to go up to North Austin to pick up this bike. And then I had to drive it back down south after I bought it, took it away from the showroom. I rode, you know, for, I can't even tell you how many hours I rode a bike earlier on in adulthood. But between then and selling my last bike, it was 10 years. Actually, it wasn't that long. I hadn't ridden a bike, right? So I go up to pick up my bike and I was driving it home and I noticed that I had a problem. I couldn't turn right. Every time I turned a corner, I remember pulling out of the showroom of this place. It was inevitable that I had to turn right and I had to go around to get up and get on the highway. And my right turns, it felt like in gymnastics, they call them the twisties, right? And I think that, like in baseball and in other sports, they're called the yips, right? All of a sudden, a skill that you know very, very well. For me, I rode a bicycle before I rode a bike, a motorcycle. I mean, I'd been riding a bicycle forever. I knew how to turn right. Like, this is not like it's a very basic skill, but I forgot how to do it. I would go into a panic attack every time I had to turn my bike right. The craziest thing. Now, I will say that this bike, the one that I purchased, I needed to take it home and put a lowering kit on it. So it was higher up. And I think that I definitely was a little bit scared to come to a full stop, because then I would have to lean the bike over. And if you're talking about a bike that's over 1,000 pounds, it's a lot. It's a lot of weight. So I was a little nervous about that. But I knew also, at least with right stop signs, that I could kind of coast through and just go right anyway. I get on the highway and need to exit off of this very high overpass and take one of the big interchanges in any major city. But this was a brand new one, and it was so high up. I'd never actually been on that particular exit overpass, was going to a toll road anyway. And I almost died. I truly, honestly, almost died right there on that overpass. It was a big, long one. It was going from one highway to the next and over. And I kept thinking I had to turn right, but I couldn't. My bike kept wanting to go straight. I stopped traffic. It was like a one of those two-lane overpasses, exits, whatever it is. I was going so slow, and I honestly almost fell right off of the overpass and killed myself and died a very horrific, tragic death from just buying this bike that I couldn't turn right on. Needless to say, I got home without dying and promptly parked the bike in my driveway or in my garage, never to be rode again. I worked on it. I put the lowering kit on, changed the handlebars. I did it all. But anytime I would have to bring it out of my neighbors probably saw me, but anytime I brought it out of my garage and onto my driveway, I would have had to make three or four rights in order to get to a main road, and I could never make it. In fact, a couple of the times that I tried to, I ended up walking my bike right back. I lived on a private drive, and I got to the end of my private drive and I couldn't do it. I couldn't turn right out of the private drive. So I just turned my bike around and walked it back all the way back up my street and into my garage again and parked it right where it was. My point of that story is that we can have the skill. We can have the full physical, mental capability to do something, do a task, complete a goal, whatever it is that's before us. We've done it maybe thousands of times in our past. Maybe we haven't done it in our past, but the capability is there. But if something in our heads is telling us that we can't do it, then that's what's going to win. That's what's going to win. If you've got something up in your brain, the committee up in your head, discouraging you, telling you that you can't do it, that you're not good enough, that you're so silly for even trying, you're stupid, all of the things that nobody really wants to admit happens, the shamey stories that go on in your brain and my brain and everybody's brain, when we're listening to that part of us, then we're going to have a very difficult time imagining and completing the goals and living into our full potential, okay? So many parents like us that I speak with have a hard time believing, really anybody that's gone through any sort of trauma has a hard time believing that they can create something new for themselves, something better, a life that is worth living, worthwhile, meaningful, purposeful, right? So many people that when I suggest it to them, I see the look on their faces. In fact, it just happened yesterday on a call with somebody. The tone in their voice flattened. Other times I will see people's faces, their eyes glaze over as I suggest that it's possible. It's possible for you to create something bigger and better for yourself, a life that is worth living even while experiencing the grief of alienation, even while our children are not home with us, home with you. You still can actually create this amazing, beautiful life for yourself. And like I said, when I say that, when I suggest that, I get oftentimes the glazed over look on people's eyes. And what I think it is, I did a lot of reflection over this past month about when I started this whole journey. Maybe one or two of you can email me afterwards and let me know if I'm right here. But what I think it is that one, growing up, the message that many of us received, even if it was unspoken, was that we could only do so much. There was a cap to the amount of things or the meaning of the things that we could accomplish in life. For me, the message that I received, it definitely wasn't intentional, but the message was that I needed somebody else to be the one giving me the amazing things that might happen in my life. I would just be the supporter, along with some other things that happened early on in my childhood, the self-worth problems and what have you. Started off when I was very young, around kindergarten or so, when I believe it started, that I was only good to like appease a man, to I was there purely for entertainment purposes or something. I think that that could be part of it with y'all, maybe not specifically what I just said for my experience, but some sort of messaging that you received from an early age. This is number one. One is the early on beliefs that we adopt without consciously deciding them for ourselves. That happens early on in childhood. And up until middle school, high school, we look at our parents, we look at those, whoever's raised us, and whatever they believe, if we see that they are convicted in their belief, then we just accept it into our lives as our own without choosing it ourselves. And this actually is something that I highly suggest, like all of my clients, is something that I have them question. Question all of the beliefs that you've adopted before now. Sometimes people carry beliefs that they never chose for themselves. They're living their life based on ideas and beliefs and experiences somebody else just handed down to them. I talked about this early on in the Your Identity episode, I believe. I was probably one of the first times that I suggested that. That would be a great episode if you haven't listened to it, Your Identity. So that's one. The beliefs that you adopted at a very early age were limiting, kept you at a cap. Two, and the one that I really want to stress for us as alienated parents, is that the idea is if we can create our future, if we have, each one of us has the power to create an amazing future, then that means that we also, our brains know this. We may not think it on the forefront of our mind, but that suggests that we then created our past, which means that we then created our alienation. That's the inference, I think. So this is something that I think would be very helpful for you to address, like in the here and now for yourself. And it doesn't take long. This is not some long drawn out process. You got here somehow. Just stay with me. You know that I'm not blaming you here. I'm not victim blaming. I never do. But stay with me here. This is your way out of the fog, out of the fear-based living, is by knowing, owning, compassionately loving, and taking agency and ownership over how you got here. How did you get here? Now, I know that the person who's alienating your kids from you is the one that is doing the things. I get that. I know that you didn't hold a gun to their head. You did not make them alienate your children from you. You did not do things that warranted alienation. Yeah, we're clear on that. Just know that I can't say that enough. You as a parent, your behavior did not warrant alienation happening. Okay. So that is just, that should be a blanket statement. That should, maybe I should just put that in my, in the intro every episode. Know that. Having said that, there are things that you did to lead you to not only where you're at now, but choices you made leading up to being with the person who's alienating your kids from you. Choices you made while you were with the person who's alienating your kids from you. And then, of course, there were choices that you made following, like leaving or splitting up from the person who's alienating your kid from you. Okay, those decisions, find your responsibility in those. I know that you probably already know what those ones are. None of us really have to go far for those answers, because many times what we're doing, we think we're teaching ourselves something, or that we're going to learn our lesson by shaming ourselves about said things, said decisions. And what we end up doing is approaching it wrong and shaming ourselves into resentment of them, the world, and our own selves. So instead, I want you to, with compassion, learn from those mistakes. Know that you had to have, because you're here, we all are. Know what your role was in the alienation. Know what your line of thinking was when you were there and what you would do differently today. Take responsibility for where you are now without dragging yourself through the mud. So often we, as parents experiencing this, knowing the dynamic of alienation, knowing how terrible the other parent is acting, how they're trying to drag us over the coals to the public, We feel we need to prove what good parents we've been and we are, to prove how present we were and are willing to be. We feel the need to make everybody see our side and understand where we were coming from and why we did or didn't do the things that we did or didn't do, right? Instead of feeling like you have to lay your case out for yourself and for the world, just owning whatever the mistakes were and moving forward, not keeping score with the alienator, not feeling like you need to measure up and prove to yourself or to anybody that you are worthy of being your child's parent. Because you are your child's parent. You are worthy of being your child's parent. Alienation has nothing to do with you, really. Like the dynamic itself, what the alienator is doing, the person who's alienating your kids is doing, is not a personal thing against you. It affects you personally, and it affects your child personally. But what is happening, the dynamic there, is happening entirely because of the alienator and is really only about the alienator, okay? So when you get some distance from it and stop keeping score, when you're able to accept responsibility for, yeah, listen, I didn't pay attention to the signs. I didn't understand. I did not love myself enough to know that I was worth more. I did, like for me, I did numb my feelings by going drinking and then dancing in bars at night at the clubs downtown. I did do that. I wanted to escape my life, the reality. I wanted to escape the fear that I felt on a regular basis. I was riddled with fear. I put the person who's alienating my kid from me up on this backward sort of pedestal. And I feared that he would use my quote unquote weaknesses in order to take away my rights as a parent. And that is exactly what he did. I made that happen back then because all I was doing was thinking about how I feared him using this stuff. And so then that would make me actually go do it. It's like when you're like, don't hit the window, don't hit the window. You know, the same thing with like my bike being on the motorcycle. I can't turn right. I can't turn right. Guess what? Funny, not funny. Of course, hindsight's always 20/20. But I know looking back that I didn't want to see what was really going on. Like we always say, why didn't I see the signs? I can see them so clearly now. What was I thinking? Why didn't I pay attention to that? I can tell you with full confidence that I didn't want to see the signs back then. In fact, I am sure there were times where I'm like, I should pay attention to that. That doesn't seem right. I was valuing what I thought I would have by doing whatever I was doing in order to avoid more than paying attention to the thing I should have paid attention to. Hopefully that's making sense. I knew that I was ignoring things. Full on knew I was ignoring things. And at the time, I felt like that was the thing I should be doing. I need to keep ignoring because I don't know if I'm going to be able to handle that if I pay attention to it. I don't know if I'm going to have the skills or the tools or the wherewithal to face that. So I'm going to go stick my head in the sand, or I'm going to go date another complete asshole, a person that's not so good for me. I'm going to do things that seem more exciting and take away my attention from this thing that I'm dealing with here. So I was looking for things, activities, people in my life to distract me from the reality of what was going on in my high conflict custody situation. And so by doing that, I only made this high conflict, quote unquote, you know, I'm using quotes for that because the high conflict custody, you know, but I only made the custody situation worse by pretending it wasn't happening, by looking for excuses to support why I was doing just fine. He's the one that's crazy. Because I was too busy in judgment and in justifying my behavior because everybody else does it. And so why can't I, acting like a child back in the day? Here I sit today and alienation has taken hold. My daughter is now living with her father. She has been for years now. And here I sit. I do not drag myself through the mud about it anymore. I'm okay with it because I decided to be okay with it. right? I just made the decision. Like every time a shamey thought came up, I would just look at it and be like, okay, that's interesting. I see that I'm shaming myself, but I'm going to go ahead and choose a different thought. I'm going to go ahead and up-level this thought because it's not based in reality. I know what I did. I know the decisions I made. I know what I didn't do. And I've learned from that, and I'm going to move forward. And so once I could take responsibility, like, okay, so I did create where I am right now. I did create this. Here I am. I chose the guy who would alienate my kid from me. I chose that. I chose the next guy that at the time I wanted to tell myself, but he presented himself differently. How could I have known? How could I have seen the signs? The signs were there. That's just a story I was telling myself that I did. How could I have seen the signs? That is a way to keep me myself in full victim mode. Do you know what I'm saying? How could I have seen the signs? The signs were absolutely there. I didn't want to see them once again. I chose not to see them because I couldn't handle that. I needed to find a guy that was acting like how he was acting in the beginning. I didn't want to pay attention to that warning, the red flashing lights. I couldn't handle that. I couldn't handle the reality of that. The other reality, the alter reality, seemed more attractive. I can absolutely take responsibility for that too. And it feels so much better than going back to that, well, how could I have seen the signs? How could I have known? That lays all the responsibility elsewhere, and I can do nothing with that. I can't do anything about it if I don't find my power there. But when I can say, oh yeah, no, there were signs. There were absolutely signs. I just didn't listen to them. Then it's like, okay, now we know what we're working with. Now we know where we can go from here. I chose way after the fact, only a few years ago, to start learning from each one of these little micro decisions to ignore or to shove it under the rug or to stick my head in the sand. You know, circumvent the discomfort in the moment back then. And so what I realized is this for me was a theme. And so now I pay attention so that I can start creating something new for myself. Because now that I've owned that I created my past, it's believable for me to create my now and my future. Our minds are so powerful. Your ability is there. You already have the ability. Your capability is infinite. I think I might have mentioned this in the last episode. I think I said something like, we only use 10% brain's capacity or whatever. And then I was like, I said that, but I never really did the research on that. I don't know if neuroscience actually backs that up, if that's really a thing. What kept coming to me is, have you ever seen that movie, Lucy with Scarlett Johansson? Anyway, that movie is what I was really thinking of when I said whatever I said. I think it was last episode. But either way, I know for sure that we have so much capability, so much power to do things that we never thought was possible, right? We underestimate ourselves so often, especially coming from trauma, unresolved trauma. We don't dream high enough for ourselves. We dumb ourselves down for fear of failing. But I want to offer too that maybe failing should be the goal, right? Like, what is wrong with the fail? If you're willing to learn, just like I'm learning from my past. I learned also each time I went back to court throughout that 10 years and $200,000+, it was like banging my head up against a wall. Do you know how in court, if evidence has already been used, then at least in Texas, you can't again re-present that same evidence if it was already used before. But each time, like there were opportunities for me to go back and dredge up and show a pattern of behavior with the person who's alienating my child from me, there was absolutely an opportunity, many repeated opportunities for me to go back and spell out the whole pattern. But I didn't. Time and time again, I didn't. You want to know why? Because I was scared that if I opened that can of worms, then he would open a can of worms. What's good for the goose is good for the gander, sort of thing. I was living in fear each time I went to court that if I was to go down that road, then he would out me. So I tried to circumvent that in order to avoid discomfort in the moment. And that also, I will tell you right now, this is one of the biggest regrets that I have now learned from. This was a huge lesson for me. I mean, it only took me how many times of going to court? I mean, seven different hearings over the years of me going, nope, we're not going to go there. I'm missing out on all these opportunities to show a calculated pattern of behavior on their part, which could have turned everything around for me. And I didn't, because I didn't want to feel the discomfort of being embarrassed or denigrated, I guess, in court, made to look like a bad mom. But I would take that any day of the week now, because now I've already gone back and cleaned up all of my any shame around anything, any of the decisions I made before. I wasn't willing to own that stuff back then. And that got me to where I am today. Okay. So that's what I'm talking about. All of this stuff, you do not have to live your life in fear based on what people know, your ex knows, or the community knows, or whatever is going on for you. You don't have to continue to live your life in fear. You don't have to shut the door and keep the skeletons in the closet anymore. You don't. In fact, when you set them free, I'm telling you, life is so much better. It's like a weight lifted off your shoulder. There's no hiding now. It is what it is. I am what I am. And I love who I am. None of my ideas or my beliefs are from, well, maybe I can't say none, but most of my beliefs now, I have pulled them all out and decided on purpose whether I want to continue believing these things or not, right? I am all me, like every part of me, I own it. And I'm suggesting this for you too. And it feels so good because I know that every decision I made, even back then, I made those decisions because I was trying to protect myself or protect my daughter in the moment. Always. I know that. And I'm guaranteeing the same is for you. The only reason that we do what we do is because we think it's the safe bet. We're trying to avoid, it's just the way the human body, the way that we're, our nervous system and our brain works, our survival brain works. We are going to do whatever it takes to keep us out of danger. Does that mean that like later on, we could have made a better decision? Yes, that's what we learn. You don't have to shame yourself for it. Because the more that you shame yourself for that stuff, the more you're going to be psyching yourself out, not being able to turn right, you know? So owning your past will do wonders. It can only bring you to higher places. When you've taken yourself out of that, I should have seen the signs, I should have known they're so evil, and turned it into they are who they are. I don't need to figure them out. But I know for me that there were signs and I didn't want to see them at the time because it didn't seem safe for me. I didn't want to go there because in order to do that, I would have had to feel discomfort. And that discomfort seemed inaccessible, impossible for me at the time. But now I know different. Now I see what I was doing. And if you're able to look at yourself with compassion, then you're able to understand and also give yourself the grace to move forward in an up-level way now and into your future. Okay? So hopefully that'll help you for looking at your 2024, being able to see your past self in a new light. And then also your today, taking stock of today and moving forward. What can you create moving forward? Because you did create your past. You created where you are right now. And how can you change that and create your future to where you want to be? Okay. So also, last thing I'll ask you, this is just coming to me last minute, but like oftentimes people say, yeah, but I don't even know what I want to be. I don't know where I want to go from here. That's okay. Here's what you do. Do a scan of everybody, all the influences in your life. Pull out their most admirable qualities in your mind. Write them down on a piece of paper for now. Okay. And then those are the things. If you admire those things in somebody else, then the chances are that you want to further incorporate them in your own life, in your own view. Okay? So we'll revisit that coming up very soon. Okie dokie, you guys, Healing Reinvention Program. It's called This Month and Moving Forward, actually. I haven't named the subsequent months, but it's called A Fresh Start. If you join, you will get access to all of last year's material the second that you join. But then now, starting this year, it's like a whole brand new look, a brand new interface. Is that the right word? It's a different course, basically. And it looks different. It's nice and clean and neat and organized. And not that the other wasn't. It's just different. It's a fresh new look. That's all.
It's a facelift. There's a facelift for this year, for 2024. And we are starting right now, January, with the basics. I learned so much from 2023 and the way that I want to teach the tools that I learned for myself and incorporated from my in my own life in order to heal. And I'm teaching this year, starting like fresh in a more effective, efficient way that hopefully is going to best serve you. Okay. So come on, come join. It's ridiculous. Also, join the private Facebook group, you guys. I was over the weekend doing Facebook Lives in there in the private group. And I was telling them, and one of them, that listen, what you get in the Healing Reinvention program, it's ridiculous. You get group coaching calls once a week. You get a new course each month. You get weekly content with worksheets that you get to fill out every day, 5-10 minutes a day. But it's content that you're following that's dripped out to you with videos. And then you get a private podcast that comes to you weekly, right? Not this, it's a private podcast. And then I'm going to be starting in February, you're going to be getting a podcast like this podcast that you're listening to right now. In the Healing Reinvention program, you're going to get a podcast study guide for each episode that comes out. You're going to get a study guide that comes along with it. Okay. And so that way you're actually taking these principles and applying them to your own situations in your own life. So it's like all this extra learning. Also, I'm doing worksheets and thought prompts for each coaching client that you hear on the group coaching calls so that you can apply all of the things that you learn on the call, here on the call, into your own life. Like there's just so much that you get, so much that you get. This is way more than I ever got in any of the group coaching programs, memberships that I belong to before now. And they were all at least $350 a month. $350 a month, and you're getting this for $107. Listen, I know what y'all have been through. I know how hard it's been, and I know how much money you've spent, how hard it is to, you know, be paying child support and whatever it is that's going on. I'm not trying to put anybody out at all. But I also have to live. And also too, I do believe that if you're not paying for it in some way, if there's not something that you're giving up, then you're not going to end up applying the stuff. There's a science behind that. There must be a sacrifice on the part of the person that's doing the work, right? Unlike for you. So the $107 a month is such a reasonable, fair deal for all the things you get. Like I said, the cheapest one that I've even heard of, it was $350 a month to get half the stuff that you're getting in this group coaching. Also, if you wanted to do private coaching and the group coaching is not for you, you know that there's always that too. More expensive, but it's there. It speeds up your process. If you want results like stat, that's what you do. Private coaching is your best bet. Okay, so that's it. Join the private Facebook group if you want to get in on the lives. And actually, join it too if you want to see like this last yesterday, I did a private Facebook live session that I had a couple clients come on. And so the others that are watching that video get to see what a coaching call is like firsthand, right? Get a little taste of that. See what that experience is like, just in case you're like not sure and you're like, I don't know if I want to. It's a good way to see. And that's free. Just join the private Facebook group. There's no selling going on. There's no weird creepiness. There never is. I promise you that. So yeah, join the private Facebook group. Come on, y'all. The link is below. Okay, that's all. I'll shut my face now. Bye. Thanks so much for listening today, guys. I'm honored that you chose to share your time with me. If you like what you've been hearing and you want more, come join me in the new monthly membership, where we take the concepts that you hear about here and using a logical framework, you learn to apply them to your specific situations, upgrading your thoughts and your life, even while experiencing the grief of alienation. For more information, go to beyondthehighroad.com. See you soon.